Well, we've got a bunch of callers online.
You can find K57 on 570 AM, K57.com, PNCGuam.com, and the K57 app.
And good evening. And it's time for the Dad Help.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Vet Talk.
And now on 96.5 FM, you're locked on to News Talk K57.
Good evening, Guam. It's Tuesday night, and it's time for the Data Hub with Tyrone Titano. I'm Tyrone Titano, and welcome to the show. We are broadcast live here on News Talk K57 and simulcast on GTA Channel 3 and Docomo Channel 2. And also, it's streamed on the internet on PNC.com, K57.com, and live on Facebook at News Talk K57, as well as on 96.5 FM. So many ways to listen here. I suppose before we get into this, explain the setup we have here. All the radio shows, we normally is having me at in the studio with the guests here, but because of COVID-19 restrictions, we moved off of that model to having me in the studio and the guests call in, and not having under the protocols here at KV7, if you don't have any guests in the studio, I'm allowed to take my mask off, provided that I put a sock over the microphone. So I'm here alone in the studio with just me and my sock. And a few weeks ago, as the COVID-19 restrictions were reimposed, we shifted to a more remote access here, you know, people calling in and setting up a Zoom link between me and the studio. We are now back to the current format, so I'm here in the studio. Again, just me and my sock, and for those of you out there wondering, yes, I am wearing pants tonight. So first up, we'll be talking to about the latest update from the 2020 Census of Guam as it's rounding down the data collection phase. Those of you out there who have not responded to the 2020 Census, please do so here. Guam is counting on you, and it's important for the future for the community you all care about. After the 7 o'clock news, we'll have a discussion on the Guam Green Growth Initiative and the UN Sustainability Goals, which is being spearheaded by the Guam Green Growth Initiative, the G3, created as a consequence of an executive order by Governor Lou Leon Guerrero. And to discuss what's happening with G3, we'll have the leading driver of the process, Dr. Austin Shelton from the Center of Environmental Sustainability at the University of Guam, and the G3 coordinator, Lawrence Waddell. We'll discuss the issues regarding regarding how the process works. Last week they signed a new framework, virtually, of course, and we'll be up to date as to what that means for the community moving forward as we move towards a sustainable future for the entire island. And just to parenthetically mention, that's driving this process, the UN Sustainability Goals, which again was adopted by executive order by Governor Leon Guerrero. But most people think it hasn't just to do with the environment, but in fact has to do with a range of issues that deal with and contribute to having a successful community that's sustainable. And it would discusses social issues such as gender equality and issues of economic justice, including issues of poverty. So this is the sort of thing that they will be getting into as this process continues. And we'll get into that discussion at the 7 o'clock hour. As I said, now we're waiting for the call in, a couple of people from the census. They haven't quite got online, but they should be on shortly here. I think there's a call coming in right now. Anyone who wants to join the discussion, by the way, on the census over the next 25 minutes, and also for the discussion of the G3, you can join the discussion by News Talk K57 at 477-5757, 477-5757, and I believe we have the first of our guests online. Is And the studio is checking, ringing them in. They've answered the phone, and we'll see if we can get them online. Is that for us? Is that for us? Yes, it is. And so we'll get them on. And so he's checking the phone, and we'll see how that goes. In future programs, we're going to have Joe Borhov, the director of land management, to discuss about the new. And we have on the person expected, Nikki Kanata from the 2020 Census of Guam. Nikki, are you there?
Hi, Tyron. How are you?
Doing fine. And how are you doing? I mean, you guys are you're getting breakneck pace near to the end of filling the enumeration phase. And so, how are you holding up?
We're doing good. We're just pushing out the last motivation step, as you know, tomorrow's the last day. So, we're trying to get everybody counted. By tomorrow.
Before we get into that, Nikki, I think just as a matter of introduction to the audience, your official title of the Census Office is Partnership Media Specialist, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
Yes. Just for the sake of the education of the audience, maybe you'd explain what that involves.
So my position basically does all the media outreaches and also the community outreaches. So before the shutdown, we were doing outreaches at food truck events or the malls or just anywhere that we can reach out and motivate the community to respond.
As well as liaising with groups like the Mayor's Council and civic organizations as well. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
We did partner with the Mayor's Council, and also any senators. We've reached out to all the senators. We've sent them messaging to send out to all their constituents, along with the mayors as well.
Yes, so I want to take some time to explain how full your position is. You're not just a media person, but it actually is the whole range of outreach efforts involved in the 2020 Census of Guam. And you'll be with us for at least the next few weeks. But folks, Nikki's done a great job in this position here, and she's a fairly young person, but she shows a lot of talent and promise and energy in applying to this job, and she's a person to watch. So Nikki, bring us all up to speed on where we stand right now on the 2020 Census of Guam.
Yes, so as I mentioned, the 2020 Census of Guam's last day to respond is tomorrow, September 30th. Of course, our call centers are still open from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. And, you know, we just want to make sure everybody gets counted, as this is such an important thing for Guam to do, as this is our way of receiving the federal funding for the next 10 years. But I do also want to say that after tomorrow, there will be some follow-up activity for data quality in the next following weeks, I would say about two.
Mm-hmm.
So residents of the island may receive a phone call from us, and the number is 645-2020, and it's just a quality check and should only take about 5 minutes.
Great.
And then also, if residents do miss September 30th deadline and they feel that they weren't counted or have any more questions, they can still call 645-2020.
And I just want to mention, for those of you who have relatives off island, or those of you who are off island and listening to this through the streaming platforms, if you have not been counted on the 2020 Census of Guam, certainly reach out 645-2020 or contact them on their website, and they will call you just to make that sure that connection is in the last day or so. There have been at least a couple of inquiries we've gotten from people off island who want to make sure they're counted, even though they're not here, but they're residents of Guam. They happen to be off island for one reason or another, military service or, you know, medical reasons or something, but they were anxious to be counted, and so they've contacted the census office to make sure they're counted and haven't gone through the process by the phone. As Nikki, you've gone through the census counting process yourself. Have you been interviewed?
I have been.
And so you share my view about how quick that is. You know, it's extensive, but it's fairly quick. They visited early out in the process when this began, before COVID-19 shut down everything. They visited my house, And the enumerator didn't actually know who I was that the program was under the Bureau of Statistics and Plans, and I was the director. So it was an interesting experience as I sort of watch them. I would ask them a couple of things just to test them, but they passed with flying colors. And this is I mentioned early on in this program and other programs here is that one of the goals that that Governor Leongero and Lieutenant Governor Chernow certainly had for this program is not only to do this as efficiently and effectively as possible, to make sure it counted, which is important for so many federal programs, but also come up with a program and a process here for which this community can take a well-deserved pride in. And certainly, I think that's certainly the case here. Even though the census process here is actually a little bit more involved than the census in the mainland. I mean, you're familiar with this, Nikki. The form here is actually longer than the one used on the mainland. And takes more time. But that makes it would generate that much more valuable information for us for when the census stuff is compiled, which actually may take a while. We may get some early counts on total population by village or housing by village, but a lot of the great data mining on it is and data products that may take up to a year or so to actually do. I think one of the things I've been watching here is that although even with the challenge of COVID-19, Nikki and her colleagues at the 2020 Census Guam office, led by Bernie Guinness and with our own local census advisor from the U.S. Census Bureau, who's been with us for a year now, Terry Long, they've done an excellent job in terms of making sure this is carried out and shifting gears even with the challenge of COVID-19. One thing I'm sort of watching here is that there is a burgeoning national controversy regarding how the census is being conducted on the mainland. It doesn't affect the insular areas, but over the Trump administration wants to shut down the census counting a month early, and that's resisting.
Right.
Yeah, right, and that's getting fierce opposition. There was a court order to not do that, but the Secretary of Commerce announced that they will shut down on October 3rd, which is in a few days. This has involved all sorts of other concerns. I mean, beside concerns about the electoral process that have been raised both fairly and unfairly here, there is an added concern about the if a proper census is not conducted on the mainland here, it may undercount important constituencies or important groups here, especially minorities. And that's been the abiding concern. So I mentioned this anecdote. It doesn't have a great deal to do with the operation here, but to show how important the census is as on a national level. It deals with apportionment of seats in the House of Representatives, but also factors in other programs. And it's not just a dry statistical survey process. There are real policy issues on both a national and local level that are riding on this. This is my first experience with the census, but I recall the 2010 census that had a number opposed to the island's population. And many of us involved in government policy were kind of surprised at that number and thought it was kind of low. I think this process here, I'll energetically expose and certainly energetically market it. They've done, by the way, you have your t-shirt, right? Don't you, Nikki? The 2020 Census of Guam t-shirt?
Yes.
Okay. I have mine too, there has been an active why don't you go through some of the promotional efforts that have been done just in the last month, say, to give the audience a listening audience a sense as to how far reaching some of the stuff. Certainly they've seen the commercials.
Yeah, of course, and I'm glad you mentioned that because we did want to make everyone know that we're here. It's important to get counted. But along with our motivational efforts, we did partner up with 76 in the last month or so to basically promote to respond. But we also gave them T-shirts to give out to the customers. So when they go gas a car, buy a snack, or whichever they like at 76, they do get a free t-shirt. We also did a radio contest with the SMG radio station. Mm-hmm. And basically trivia questions from this year's census, but also 2010 census stock. And they also want a free T-shirt. So we've been trying to, you know, find different ways, fun ways to get out there into the community with the restrictions that we had. But it ended up being really successful, and we do appreciate our partners that ended up partnering with us. And along with that, we also wanted to thank our partners like GFP and Island Girl Power and all of the trusted voices that we use in our community. We also gave them some promotional stuff to give to their families and whatnot. So, well, yeah, big thank you to everyone who's helped us.
Yes, one thing I've found here is that the degree, the enthusiasm is created by public officials, you know, including my wife, by the way, who of their own are actively promoting the census over the last few days. And my colleague, I just saw the video the other day of my colleague, Jermaine Alerta, from the Executive Director of the Developmental Disabilities Council. And man, did he apply to energy. That was a great one. That was
it
a great
was.
One.
It was so awesome.
Yeah. And so, but it, I think it's a testament to the work you have done along with Bernie Guinness and sort of inspiring this sort of organic public reaction and enthusiasm to get this done, and particularly when people who want to contribute their time to actually motivate other people. And I have that sense out there that it's it's a very positive thing, but it's something that people feel a part of there, and in many respects it's sort of a fun thing, you know. I remember early on that we've had some adjustments on how to deal with this one. There was like in March when the restrictions first outbreak of COVID-19, there was a period for some 7 weeks where virtually all census operations were suspended. And then, thanks to the leadership of Bernie Guinness and who is the local census office manager, and our U.S. Census Bureau advisor Terry Long, they came up with a retooling of the effort. And hence, we had a model where instead of doing a lot of in-person interviews in people's homes, we had sent people out there to interview them outside their homes or drop off information packets, and created this this phone bank, basically, at the Temuting office. They had to bring in, God, what, 60 lines? Was it, Nikki? Refresh my memory? Something like that?
I think so. I think around that. I'm not sure the exact number, but, you know, Bernie and Terry worked so hard to get this call center to open so that we do have an accurate count. As Terry and Bernie mentioned, that is their main goal, you know, to have this accurate count for the 2020 census so that Guam can continue to succeed in the future.
Yes, Bernie was supposed to be on for this interview tonight, but she's been swamped with a lot of the work that needs to be done as we get near the end of the formal enumeration phase. And so, instead of distracting her, I gave her the night off. And fortunately, we get you, Nikki, and so at least introduce you to the public, so they have a sense of the depth of sort of talent and dedicated people in the 2020 Census of Guam office out there, and the hundreds and hundreds of enumerators that have done the really hard work of going out in the hot sun and the rain and going to people's homes to do this here. And that's, you know, you mentioned that in one of the promotional stuff, there was interviews with people involved in the 2010 census. And when we were doing the recruiting, by the way, for anyone I've been covering here, the 2020 Census of Guam is actually a program under the Bureau of Statistics and Plans, under the contract signed between the Governor of Guam and the federal government. The Bureau of Statistics and Plans is the central agency in which the obligations, requirements, and the contract and the creation of stuff flows through. Now, part of that process means it has been to set up the 2020 Census of Guam office and operation for which Nikki's a part of, and then get them launch them off to do the really hard work they've done ever since the summer of last year, and then we provide sort of support for in terms of procurement and personal processing and other things. But the major load has gone to people like Bernie and Nikki and all the people at the census office to actually pull this one through. But so that's why, by the way, there was this connection between the Bureau and the 2020 Census of Guam program. So maybe, Nikki, we're heading for the last 9.5 minutes of this segment here. Perhaps I think this would be a good time for you to sort of paint the picture as to how, what's going to unfold over the next few months. Basically, it's going to wrap up the census operation, and then I believe the census office is scheduled to close sometime in December, where the last employee will be Bernie Guinness, who her job will be to turn off the lights and turn the key over to the landlord. So between now and then, maybe paint a picture as to what how the remainder of the census 2020 census of Guam operation is, that process will unfold and eventually close out.
So we're basically, you know, our staff is dwindling down. We've done some great, as much as we could, you know, thanking to our staff. We did something over the weekend to kind of thank them as they left our office. And then also with this review process over the next following weeks, we really have to crack down to, you know, give that complete and accurate send out to the office, which should be, I think, at the end of October. I think that's our goal. You know, packing and shipping the materials to send out to stateside for official processing and tabulation. And then we hope to have at least the population count by sometime summer 2021. And the rest of the data releases will follow right after that. Towards the end of, or during the month of November, you know, we're doing all of our checks and reports and stuff, and then by December, Bernie should be pretty much the last person there to say, you know, be the census, thank you so much, Guam, and we're out. We're out for the rest of the year.
Well, unless you're like the 2010 census people and come back in another 10 years to help out of the 2030 census.
We did have a lot of people that did come from the 2010 census saying that it's really important when they were working in 2010, it was important for them to come back and like assist us in 2020 because they realized how important the census is for our island. So we do appreciate all of our enumerators, all of the staff that didn't come back from 2010 that applied, our entire staff for doing this operation, especially, you know, during these challenging times where no one could have even imagined the stuff that Guam has been through in the last year. So we want to thank everyone.
Well, thank you, Nikki, for your public service and to all the rest of your colleagues in the 2020 Census of Guam operation. You know, people are used to thinking of government employment as a sort of, you get into this niche and then it's almost for a perpetuity. But in fact, this whole 2020 Census of Guam operation is started up with like the first employee burning in June of last year. And she will be the last employee and has been teed up to like several hundred employees. And you know, early on, I sort of compared this to like putting on a Broadway show. You know, on Broadway, and you get up and it runs and it runs as the crowds come in, but eventually, it even might be years, but eventually it the show closes. And this is sort of like what you and Bernie and the rest of the 2020 Census of Guam had to do. You've had to, from a standing start, construct this entire operation and get it moving through COVID-19 and other challenges to get the job done. And over the remainder of the year, the task will be to slowly close the show, so to speak, and pack up all the information connected, which by the way, as I should mention, is under Title 13 restrictions, right? Did I get the reference right? Title 13 restrictions, which means the way this 2020 Census Guam office is run and the confidentiality and security and all the information collected by respondents to the 20 Census of Guam are under strict federal controls, and even how they're stored. And then eventually they will be sent off island to the U.S. Census Bureau in D.C., and they will do the compilation there and give us the data results based on that other stuff. And by the way, parenthetically, what's also been running concurrently with the 2020 Census of Guam operation is also the census operation inside the fence line on base. And when that stuff is completed, their completed forms will also be sent down to the Timuning 2020 Census of Guam operation, and those will also be sent aside to get a complete count of every person on Guam, both inside and outside the fence. and to make sure where everyone is counted, which is so important to our island's future. Well, Nikki, we're at maybe 4 minutes left, and I'll tell you what, I'll give you the time to say whatever parting information you want to convey. You, it was a good chance to opportunity to repeat the phone numbers or possible email addresses people will need, and the social media pages and the websites that they can go to for more information. So I'll leave you the remaining minutes of this a couple minutes of this segment here to. And whatever thoughts you would like to share with the listening audience.
All right. Thank you so much, Tyrone. I do want to remind everyone that tomorrow is the last day to respond to the 2020 census of Guam. They can call 645-2020 to complete their interview. And I also just want to say, if you have any trouble, just to press 1, because once you press 1 on the telephone, you can get automatically transferred to the operator. And then if there are any questions after September 30th that a resident may have, they can still call 645-2020. And don't forget that there will be some follow-up data activity for data quality in the next coming week. So just be patient with us and help us get an accurate count. And I think that's it for me, Tyrone. Along with the thanks that we have to our entire staff from beginning to end, and, of course, to you, Tyrone, and to the BSP staff for your continued support and leadership in getting the accurate count for Guam and continuing to support us to do a great census for 2020. We appreciate you guys for all your help. Thank you to the island of Guam for responding and getting things done for our island of Guam to succeed in the next 10 years. You know, Viva Census, Viva Guam. We really appreciate everything you guys have done. So thank you once again. And thank you, Tyrone, for having me on the show. I'm sorry Bernie couldn't make it, but...
Well, she's busy. So, yeah. Anyway, Nikki, but thanks for taking time out for joining us. I would tell you to get some rest, but I know better because I know you have a heck of a lot of work ahead of you and some long hours before this is done. But my congratulations on the job well done so far, and I'm sure you'll make Guam proud, you and Bernie and the rest of the crew, as we give these remaining few weeks of the 2020 Census of Guam. Thanks a lot, Nikki. Take care.
Thank
Be safe.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
And that was Nikki Kanakta, a partner media specialist for the 2020 Census of Guam. We're heading up to the CBS Radio News. After the news, we'll have on Dr. Austin Shelton from the Center of Island Sustainability and also Lawrence Waddell, the coordinator for the G3 Guam Green Growth Initiative process. This will be, we're here on News Talk KP7, simulcast on GTA Channel 3, and Docomo Channel 2, and also it's streaming live on pncguam.com, kpd7.com. We're also broadcasting 96.5 FM, and we're live on Facebook at News Talk K57. Thank you so much for joining us this evening here. Hope you hang in there, and I'll see you on the other side of the news. See you, Guam.
News Talk K57.
Well, we've got a bunch of callers online.
You can find K57 on 570 AM, K57.com, PNCGuam.com, and the K57 apps.
And good evening. And it's time for the Data Hub.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Vet Talk.
And now on 96.5 FM, you're locked on to News Talk K57.
Welcome back. This is To the Dad Hub with Tyrone Titano. We're being broadcast live on News Talk K57 and simulcast on GTA Channel 3 and Docomo Channel 2. And we're also live on 96.5 FM and streaming on Facebook at News Talk K57 as well as on pncguam.com and KVD7.com. Previously, we were discussing with Nikki Kanata about the 2020 Census of Guam. If you have not submitted your census form, please do so. You only have one more day left to be counted and counted for Guam's future. Joining us soon will be, we're going to have a discussion about the Guam Green Growth Initiative, and with Dr. Austin Shelton from the University of Guam Center for Iron Sustainability and Lawrence Waddell for the G3 Coordinator. If any of you want to join the conversation regarding the Guam Green Growth Initiative and the issues of sustainability, you can call in at Newstalk KV7 at 477-5757. That's 477-5757. In future programs, we'll have on the Director of Land Management, Joe Borja, to talk about technology issues. And we'll also deal with other issues regarding Guam's future from and listen to the leading experts. Hopefully, get another update on where we stand on COVID-19 from public health officials. But we'll cover a broad range of subjects here. For those of you not familiar with the setup we have here, I'm alone in the KVD7 studio under the KVD7 protocols, and so it allows me to talk without a mask on by just putting my sock over the microphone. So I'm here alone with me and my sock, and we have the guests call in, and we're waiting for Dr. Shelton and Lawrence Waddell to call in as soon as possible. As I said, if anyone wants to join the conversation, they call at 477-5757. That's 477-5757. I think some of the calls for our guests are coming in. They will be here between now and 8 o'clock, and we'll have more than happy to have you join the discussion. If you missed tonight's program, the podcast of it can be found on kv7.com, and we will be posting on the Bureau's social media pages, the Bureau of Statistics and Plans and the Coral Reef Initiative and the Guam Coastal Management Program, and you can find the link to there. So we have on I believe, Dr. Austin Shelton. Austin, are you there?
Yes, hi, Mr. Titano.
Oh, thank you. Thanks so much, Austin. Will Lauren be able to join us this evening?
Yeah, she's calling in right now too, I think.
Okay, we'll get her on as soon as she calls in. Just to start off the discussion, Austin, perhaps I have this whole Guam Green Growth Initiative started late last year by Governor Lilian Guerrero, signing by executive order, adopting the UN sustainability goals and creating the Guam Green Growth Initiative to help meet those goals. Is that not the case?
That's correct.
Okay.
So it was about a year ago now that at this time, during the UN General Assembly, this was back in September 2019, Guam actually joined as a founding member of the Local 2030 Islands Network.
Mm.
So now we're part of a network of islands that are working to advance the UN Sustainable Development Goals in locally and culturally effective ways. So Lieutenant Governor Snoyer was there at the signing event of that, at that time in New York. And at the same time, he and the governor signed an executive order 2019-23 to establish the Guam Green Growth Working Group, which assigned at that time 81 members from all sectors of society to create an action framework that would advance the sustainable goals in locally and culturally relevant ways for Guam.
Okay, great. And I believe Lauren is on the line. Lauren, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Hi, this
Here
is
I am.
Hi, Lauren. Lauren,
how are
and
you?
Lauren and I have not. I think the last time you and I talked, Lauren, was in April of last year in D.C. You know, when you were doing an internship, I believe, with NOAA.
I was in D.C. for fellowship.
Fellowship. I'm sorry.
Now fellowship. And I was placed in the Coral Reef Conservation Program office.
Right, and that's where we met. And we have, I think we may have messaged each other, but this is the first time we've talked in over a year. COVID-19 restrictions having imposed a limited to our social range over this period. But glad to have you back on Guam. And I mentioned this anecdote just to demonstrate the depth of experience that Lauren brings to their new job as the Guam Green Growth Coordinator.
Thank you.
Okay. So, Austin, I'll let you guide the path here, but maybe we'll spend the next 10 or 20 minutes just sort of sketching out how this process, the Guam Green Growth Initiative, has developed from the original signatories for the executive order as well as for the Small Islands Network. And so perhaps paint a picture of how things are developed between that initial process and the signing of the framework, which happened just last week.
Sure. So, yeah, what happened last week was we had an internationally attended virtual signing event that Governor Leon Guerrero presided over, and she and the Lieutenant Governor signed and adopted the Guam Green Growth Action Framework. And so this formally launches the most comprehensive action plan ever created to achieve a sustainable future for Guam. It's a 10-year strategy, and as I mentioned earlier, it's aligned with the 17 United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And we had 81 members at first, and it grew to 97 members in the Guam Green Growth Working Group, and they represented government agencies, academia, nonprofits, businesses, and youth. And we got together, compiled hundreds of goals and objectives, and they're focused on five categories of action, which I'll let Lauren get to in a little bit. But we're really excited about this framework that is really a compilation of all the expertise representing all these sectors of society that will move sustainable development forward for the island.
Right. And if, by the way, I just mentioned parenthetically, for anyone interested in the what it means, the U.S. sustainability goals, and I'm not going to make Austin go through them, all of them in sufficient detail, but right now on the government channels and both Docomo and GTA, on the Docomo, I believe it's channel 116, and on GTA, it's channel 16, they're writing footage from the fifth annual Assembly of Planet Symposium was held on February 20th earlier this year, and the keynote address was given by Lieutenant Governor Sonoro, who spent his address going over the UN sustainability goals and the process that had been embarked by the Guam Green Growth Initiative, and examined various aspects of it. Now it's applicability to Guam. So if anyone interested in that subject, try and catch the Lieutenant Governor's presentation on the government channels on Docomo and GTA. So in the interim between the launch by executive order here, there was, I believe, a big meeting at the Guam Museum, where I believe the first 85 participants were there. Austin, am I recalling this correctly?
That's correct. It was the launch event of the working group that happened in January 2020, and that kicked off the convening of all of these working group members. But, you know, I just wanted to, I can give a really brief thing about the UN Sustainable Development
Please.
Goals, just so people understand what they were. There are 17 of them, and I won't list them all, but they were adopted by all the member states of the United Nations back in 2015. To put the world on a path to a more sustainable, prosperous, and equitable future. And so it's really wide-ranging, from things like no poverty and zero hunger. And, you know, it really is all about different aspects of society. And it's not until 13, 14, and 15 that you really get to the environmental goals, like mm-hmm. climate action, life below water, and life on land. But it's all-encompassing, dealing with cultural creativity, ecological health, economic well-being, and also social empowerment.
Yeah, and then, like I said, there's only about two or three of them dealing with environmental, and that's what comes to people's mind when they think of sustainability. But they're talking about the sustainability of communities, which involves addressing issues such as gender equality and ending poverty and a whole range of other things. You know, that's going to be covered, I believe, as you proceed with their Guam Green Growth Initiative. From that meeting, then there were breakout groups, and they've been working diligently to create the elements, I believe, for the framework. Do I have that right, Austin?
Yeah, let's let Lauren speak about the process.
Okay.
The Guam Green Growth Coordinator, she was really good at the details of putting the working groups together.
So Lauren, I'll turn the metaphorical mic to you right now, and please explain the detail about this process. I should tell you, Austin knows this, but one of the reasons why I do this program is to take up issues that are rather complicated and not easily communicated in a 30-second soundbite or a couple column inches of newspaper, and to provide a sort of long-form process to go into the details of which I have found people are actually interested in. Particularly a subject like this. So why don't you explain the process, Lauren, and don't let me crimp your style. Please feel free to indulge as much exposition as you think is necessary to convey the idea of what's been happening with the Guam Green Growth Initiative.
Sure.
I'd be happy to. So it's been a really great process. A lot of hard work went into the development of the action framework. Like you guys mentioned earlier, we had the Guam Green Growth Working Group launch meeting at the end of January of this year. And that's when everyone figured out what teams they were going to be in, and they had their first brainstorm session. And so during that meeting, we asked, like, can you come up with, like, at least one goal? And some, you know, like, the goals were either very broad or vague, and some were very specific. And so we were, like, seeing, like, what their first processes were. And then I was able to give them some feedback on how to, like, shape and mold their process going forward. And so we had team lead coordinators for each of the teams, and there were 8 teams at the time, 7 focused on specific clusters of the Sustainable Development Goals, or SDGs, and 1 focused on data and communication, and that's the team you're in.
Right. By the way, Lauren, just explain what do you mean by a cluster?
So good question. We separated them by, into categories that we thought would complement each other. So for instance, no poverty, zero hunger, good health and well-being were put together. And education seemed to be a standalone feature because we got all the heads of the various education departments and divisions on Guam into one team. And then we had clean water and sanitation and energy together. So we separated them by things that seemed to make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so that they would come up with goals that related to each other. And over the course of February and the beginning part of March, the teams were meeting and they were making really awesome goals, things that, you know, weren't even thought of before, but that were on their, like, dream plans. Like, they're in this agency or they're of this organization.
Do you have an example of the sort of new ideas that came out, things they hadn't thought of before?
Sure. Well, my background is in watershed restoration, so I feel like I would be hitting the nail on the head a little more if I'm focusing on that aspect. So the team that was focused on natural resources, you know, they all want clean, healthy watersheds, and they want to restore their watersheds. And they had, you know, plans to work on various aspects that are related to watershed restoration. And we have several agencies represented, BSP is represented, Ag is represented, and UOG Sea Grants represented, the Marine Lab, etc. So we have all these people who are colleagues and know what's going on with each other professionally, and we got them together to focus on these goals. And they're like, well, we want to do this. And Edwin from Coastal Management was like saying, well, we want to do this. And so they like had these aha moments of connecting and making these processes more efficient and more complementary. So
yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned Edwin. Edwin is and the Coastal Zone Management Program are part of the Bureau of Statistics and Plan. So I'm glad that you inadvertently put a plug in that the Bureau contributed to the aha moments. So
yeah.
Thanks for that. So anyway, sorry to interrupt if you're proceeding.
No worries. So just like seeing these people, you know, who they were my colleagues, and seeing them like really focus on this task at hand to develop these goals and develop in a way so that we have a 10-year strategy, and where do we want to be? And, either Vanji Lujan from GWA or Christine Farron.
Yeah, by the way, if I want to mention, Vanji Lujan is also a chairman of the governor's Climate Change Resiliency Commission. So is typical of Vanji, she approaches things with multiple hats. It's which is very very useful to the process, I'm sure you found, Lauren.
Yeah, she's very helpful to the teamwork. I think like Vanji and Christine were both saying, well, you know, can we realistically achieve watershed plans for X number of watersheds? And, you know, GWA is involved, forestry is involved, and Sea Grant helps with the research and some of the restoration work, too. And so when we had all the right players at the table who are tasked to, you know, develop this framework, they're like, okay, to make this possible, we have to do X, Y, Z first. And then they came up with something that they felt really good about and that they can look towards and strive towards. So even though it's a part of their mission to protect our forested resources and our natural resources, they were able to figure out a way to accelerate their missions, which I thought was really inspiring. And so there's a lot of stuff that's happening across the other teams as well that are supposed to enhance and accelerate our missions or everyone's collective missions so we can get to a better state. And that's for socioeconomic, that's for health, that's for our environment, that's for cultural and social empowerment. So it was really inspiring to go to all these meetings. As a coordinator, I attended majority of the meetings. Some of them I couldn't attend because
One person and there's several of these things. Yeah.
It was just such a treat, and I feel like because I have this environmental science background, I got to learn a lot about other aspects that I care about but I don't know as much about. And to see all the people who've been in these roles for very long times and like have the background, have the experience, and know the steps that need to get us from A to B to talk together and devise these plans to get to these goals that they developed and measure it by things that they knew could be measured and have this strategy, I thought was very inspiring and very powerful.
Is there an example of, just give us one of those threads that may come to mind here, for example, like a 10-year goal and what was envisioned is what has to happen between now and then to achieve that 10-year goal. Just one thing as an example, maybe in watershed since that's your, one of your main fortes.
I would have to pull up the framework document.
Well then we won't catch you. We won't catch you. Sting you on this one as well. So
I have, a little bit of understanding of a lot of it.
Well, maybe I can help you out for a bit here. I mean, part of the process here is not necessarily reinventing the wheel for everybody, but actually harnessing what is going through and providing a direction and a sort of a comprehensive framework to guide it over the next future. Austin, would that be a fair assessment of how this process works? You're not reinventing the wheel or doing all the work, but actually pulling it together in the framework that makes sense and that is realistic?
That's correct, Mr. Tyson. So again, this is the most comprehensive framework to achieve a sustainable future that's ever been created for the island. And so the great thing about having, in the end, 97 members representing all sectors of society is that we're pulling in all the existing plans and metrics that people are working towards, and we're putting it into this G3 action framework. Because the idea is to use an internationally recognized dashboard that we can be tracking all of our progress towards sustainable development and show the rest of the world how Guam is leading the way to be contributing to the sustainable global future for the whole planet. And so we're following a lot of examples from our partners in this Sustainable Islands group, Local 2030 Island Network. Building on all of the good work that we're doing on island throughout these different organizations and putting it into a coordinated framework. And then also finding a few gaps in the sustainability framework that we will be addressing in strategic ways. And so there will be also tangible solutions to sustainability challenges that contribute to a green economy for the island. So both coordination and implementing real actions to move us forward.
Yes, and just to perhaps parenthetically mention, Lauren mentioned about watershed, and just a sort of examples to sort of how this process works here, which is, again, not necessarily a matter of reinventing the wheel or issuing commands from above high, but harnessing the possibilities and the prospects there, and encouraging in a specific direction. And of course, what comes up to people's minds when this sort of discussion happens is, well, how are you going to pay for this? Where are the resources going to come from? Well, it comes from not only investment of local revenue resources, but being very creative about how to do it through public-private partnerships. And also, just to mention the watershed front, I was in discussions with U.S. Fish and Wildlife people late last year about the programs they had available for watershed maintenance and restoration, and how a good part of that funding has gone untapped by the insular areas. And so the Bureau has been working with Chelsea Winnebrick, the Director of Agriculture, and a grant application has been submitted to fund watershed restoration in the Pago Bay area. That grant is still pending. We probably won't find out next year, but that gives you an example about how the connection between these sort of issues and the actual practical work is. I believe you may have a caller in. We'll check with the studio to see if they have a question. Anyone again wishing to get a discussion? Maybe they're off. They've lost their way. Anyway, anyone wishing to join the discussion, you can call in at 477-5757. That's 477-5757. I'm here with Dr. Austin Shelton with the Center on Sustainability, and also Lawrence Rodell, the Guam Green Growth Initiative, George G3 coordinator. Austin and Lauren, perhaps then, paint a picture of what's the next step. Now that the framework has been signed last week, what are the next thing we can look forward to from the Guam Green Growth Initiative?
Sure, thanks for that question, Mr. Tyson. So the next steps are that now that we have this compilation of 800 goals, objectives, and action items, we'll be moving the process forward. The governor will continue to chair G3 biannual meetings. Then the Lieutenant Governor and myself will co-chair the G3 Steering Committee, which will be comprised of all of the team leads from our five categories of actions. Then we'll work with them to identify priority and high-impact opportunity projects. We will implement some of those G3 action framework items, establish the G3 dashboard, where we'll be tracking progress on all of these metrics. And as we go along, we'll have opportunities to adapt and adjust the framework, which will be a living and adaptable document.
Give us a timeline of when you think the dashboard will be up.
Well, right now, Hawaii is completing its migration to the new platform, Esri.
I've seen it, yes.
And so as soon as they complete that, within the next couple of weeks, they'll be sharing the platform with us. And we're actually hoping to work with your agency to make sure that gets up onto the GovGuam website, so it can be a transparent place where people could be following along to see how we're achieving these metrics and sustainable development goals.
So basically, we can expect to see that in the next few months is if all things go well, though, given COVID-19, how its dislocations has disrupted a lot of our plans, but probably the next few months then.
Yeah, absolutely. So in your you're actually part of this working group that
yes.
will be part of the dashboard. And so this is Dr. Ricky Hernandez, yourself, Nicole Berdalio, and our media partners that will help us do the public engagement and dashboard part.
Well, just as an example,
excited for this piece.
Right. And just for the listening audience, as an example of how these things sort of overlap and the synergies involved in here, I mentioned that Van Jinhuan is chairman of the governor's Climate Change Resiliency Commission. And one of their goals is, by the way, is to create a dashboard similar like this. But by pooling resources and coordinating efforts, we don't have a duplicative, and we basically can help a number of the initiatives that are out there, or even agencies out there and private organizations out there, achieve the goal by pooling resources and getting this done. And I think if not for your work, Austin, and the and Lauren as well, and the Guam Green Growth Initiative, I think we're going to realize this dashboard, which is important not only just the Guam Green Growth Initiative, but also for a number of other concerns, including the Climate Change Resilience Commission and their efforts to as you said, fill in the gaps regarding the public policy on climate change. So that's something for all of us to look forward to, and including myself, because I have to help work on it. But in any event, given the connection between the Guam Green Growth Initiative and the governor's adoption of the UN sustainability goals. Well, maybe for the listening audience, what are the sort of feedback loops that, that ties in what we do locally to what is basically an international movement? I mean, is there any, do we have any discussions with UN entities or that sort of thing, or as a way of sharing it internationally?
Yes, actually, tomorrow morning, the Lieutenant Governor has a speech during the United Nations General Assembly Week. So we did our event. We made our event a virtual signing event on G3. Mm-hmm. Was during this really important time in the international community. Right now, it's the UN General Assembly Week, the 75th one. It's also Global Goals Week, mm-hmm. which is all about the Sustainable Development Goals, and Climate Week, NYC. So these three things are converging. There's many virtual international events happening right now, and we got pretty front and center with the G3 Action Framework, and so we had a couple really great guests that came to our event at the invitation of the governor. We had the governor of Hawaii, David Ige, and mm-hmm. the president of the Republic of the Marshall Islands, His Excellency David Kabua. We also had the executive director of the Global Island Partnership and the executive director of the Hawaii Green Growth Local 2030 Hub. So there are these partners that are looking to Guam and commending us for our leadership in the Sustainable Development Goals. The Lieutenant Governor is going on the air tomorrow at an international event to show Guam's leadership in this area.
Is this an actual virtual?
It's a constant sharing.
Yeah, Austin, just to cover that in, is this an, this is, you mentioned, I think the Lieutenant Governor will be addressing the General Assembly?
Not the General Assembly, but these are a whole bunch of different side events.
I see.
During the UN General Assembly.
Oh, I see.
This one is specific to Island Action. I represented Guam at another one in the SDG Action Zone, but it's mm-hmm. been a constant sharing of this information through in the international network that Guam is really coming up, representing the incredible work that we're moving forward. So it's a story of islands helping islands. When the Hawaii governor spoke the other day with us, he shared how the Micronesia Challenge, which is something that came out of our region here to conserve land and sea, that sparked the movement, the Aloha Plus Challenge in Hawaii. It later sparked the Caribbean Challenge across the world. And now with the Aloha Plus Challenge having this internationally recognized dashboard, they're coming back to help us. So that islands, helping islands moving forward towards a sustainable global future, I think it's really clear in the themes between all of our partners.
So aside from raising Guam's public profile, which is important for a broad range of interests, but also not to say the least, considering that we have or had a tourist economy, and we hope to get one soon, so that promotion of Guam are viable in that respects here. It's, I guess, this exchange of information that is the value added to these this connection with the international community and what is happening internationally on sustainability. Is that a fair assessment of it, Austin? Austin?
Yes, I think that I would take us to a conversation about how we're advancing tangible solutions and mm-hmm. How islands are sharing bright spots to respond to the COVID-19 pandemic and the global recession. You know, we're not the only island that is seeing a recession because we don't have tourists anymore. Many other islands are also experiencing this. The one thing that we have in development right now, and I think it's something you and I have talked about before, Mr. Kaitano, the advancement of the circular economy. Mm-hmm. So one of the tangible things that we're excited for is in a time of business closures and rising unemployment is that we're going to be able to give people an ownership role in the new green economy and this transition to a cleaner future by opening up a makerspace at the Chamorro Village, which is currently in development right now. We're going to have a circular economy makerspace where entrepreneurs or anybody in the community can come in and turn waste products like trash into new marketable products. And so there'll be things like 3D printers and CNC routers.
What's a CNC router?
Plate presses. It's something that can cut wood in a whole bunch of different ways. Mm-hmm. So you can take discarded lumber and turn it into trophies or into shelves. You can turn it into a new piece of furniture, a table, a chair, things like that. So it's really all based on neat computer codes. Same thing like if you're using a 3D printer, you just plug in the design and the machine goes to work for you to create new things. And so
what is the intake in there for this machine? What does it take in?
It can take in wood products. It can also take in melted plastic formed like rectangles, and so we can shred plastic and melt it in precious plastics machines, and then we can put it into the CNC router and put in a computer design, and the machine will get to work and create new shelf pieces or tables, chairs. It's really up to the creativity of the people who get into the makerspace and decide what they want to create with these products. So the possibilities are endless, and the idea is to take trash out of the landfills and put cash in people's pockets instead.
Very much the idea of Brown Zero Waste. So this is going to be at the Chamorro Village. You know where in the Chamorro Village they'll site this?
Yeah, we have a couple spots in there that we're working to finalize. There was one house that's where the Harrell Academy was.
Okay.
We'll be putting most of the equipment in there. And so we have our team working on the lease and the purchases of the equipment. A lot of this is also provided by leveraged funds from federal grants. So it's really exciting to have the space where we'll be able to work with our community to make this happen.
What is roughly, I don't want to put you on the spot, but roughly what is your timeline for tilting this up? Roughly.
It will take us a couple months to ship everything here, but we're hoping to have doors open by early next year.
Good. You know, hopefully the COVID-19 restriction and you can actually have crowds. So I think many would be interested in doing this. I mean, part of the purpose of projects such as yours, and by the way, this is a great idea, is actually to demonstrate what is possible. And the easiest way to convey that information is to actually demonstrate it. I know that's part of the agenda for the Zero Waste Program and their demonstration projects. But this is, I think, it has a nice, Oscar, if I may say, a nice grassroots feel to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Here with the Zero Waste Program that is being managed by the Zero Waste Working Group, chaired by First Gentleman Jeff Cook, is to take advantage of the 10 acres set aside of the port for the Recycling Enterprise Zone and convert that into sort of an industrial park for small-scale recycling operations. And so taking up some of the ideas generated from G3 and examples like the Toronto, which is, by the way, a great idea. But it occurs to me that this maker, what are you calling this again? A maker?
It's
Makerspace.
Makerspace and Innovation Hub.
And Makerspace
we'll
and Innovation Hub. We'll
also be able to host workshops and classes. It'll be conducive to in-person workshops and distance learning where we can record and stream all of these lessons. There'll be some aquaponics and other aspects of the circular economy all mixed in here too.
Fantastic. But it occurs to me, having sighted the Chamorro Village, you're also adding to the idea of the Chamorro Village as a tourist attraction. So when, as we set the stage for the return of the visitor industry, which unfortunately will probably take years rather than months, yeah, it's the sort of thing that adds to it and makes it interesting. I can see, I don't know about you two, but I can see the potential for this for appeal for the tourists to see what is happening on a grassroots level to deal for recycling or doing the green economy here. There's one of the big niches out there is ecotourism. And also sort of the social participant tourism where people come in to take their hands on like things like forestry projects. And so I think this is really early days, but I can see the potential for this later on. Where did the idea of this Makers Village come from? Or what prompted you to
there's some really great examples of maker spaces around the world. There's not too many of them that are focused specifically on the circular economy, but you know, this is one of our major sustainability challenges here on island, right? We import over 90% of the goods that we consume and the food that we eat, and we pay way too much money to dig holes in the ground and fill it with trash.
Not to mention to spend it on expensive Jones Act shipping to bring all that stuff here. Not to mention that. So
yeah. So even as you mentioned, this is a way to do it at a grassroots level, to put the ownership of this transition to a new green economy in the hands of our people, and to really demonstrate how this could work for people. So we're excited. And yes, we could see ourselves engaging tourists as well. Imagine having an aquaponics system where you can pick your tilapia. You could grab a calamansi that's growing on the side of the building. We can fry the fish up there for you. And then you can walk into the makerspace, mm-hmm. shred some plastic, melt it into a keychain mold, and walk out of there with a souvenir and a great meal during the Chamorro Village Wednesday night market.
Right. You know, Lauren, feel free to jump in here. Don't Austin and I are used to listening to each other talk for a long endless periods of time, but I'm sure that
Lauren's turn. Sorry.
Oh, yes. So
one really great thing about having it at the Chamorro Village as well is that the Chamorro Village is designed to have small businesses,
mm-hmm.
and some small businesses were hit really badly because of the COVID pandemic. So this is giving small businesses another opportunity to be able to get into the circular economy and make their own local business thrive. So we want to be able to provide this as a resource for our community. And like you said, the Jones Act makes everything so expensive coming in. And so if we could look at trash, or what we think of as trash, because we don't know what to do with it anymore. If we know what to do with it, and it becomes actually a resource that we could reuse and market, and we could sell at Chamorro Village to tourists. Tourists could participate in this as well. So it has a lot of potential, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm. And the ultimate goal for greening the circular economy is to convert waste into resources to fuel a green economy, to create more business opportunities and more private sector jobs. And also along the way, save money for the taxpayers, because to the extent we convert waste into resources that of economic value here, we are extending the life of the landfill and therefore saving money for the taxpayers on a number of fronts here. But, you know, and touching on the subject here on the economic aspect of what's done here, what's being done here, is that as we proceed with the recovering of the island, particularly given this major economic hit. Part of that process, and the governor and lieutenant governor made this clear in a number of cases here, is that we also need to re-envision the economy, to come up it may not be restoring to exactly the way things are before, but coming with new ways for which to fuel economic growth and job creation. And also come up, particularly with respect to the circular economy, something that's more resilient and to economic shocks from external factors, because it's very generating items that are consumed locally here. And so there's nothing more resilient or sustainable than something dealing with the circular economy and the green economy. This is the Data Hub with Tyrone Titanoa, and we're just discussing the UN Sustainability Goals and the Guam Green Growth Initiative with Dr. Austin Shelton of the Center for Environmental Sustainability and Laura Swadell from the G3 coordinator. And we have a caller in. Tomas, are you there?
Yo, hi. How are you?
Do you have a question for our guest tonight?
No, you know, I got more like voting ideas. You know, I spend, some time in the Philippines and, in regarding of all this, what we do with our waste and recycled products and all this stuff. You know, in Philippines, nothing goes to waste. I'm telling you, man. they take a discarded icebox and they turn it into something else. And we're going to have to look at more ways and trying to recycle these things and find a second use for it here on island, or not even turning them into like coolers. And you know, even the ice box, they turn it into a cooler. It's so cool in Philippines how they their mind is really creative, you know, in reusing things. I don't know, have you ever been to Philippines and seen how they do that?
Well, yes.
I mean, the tires they turn into jewelries and mm-hmm. shoe soles and everything.
One of my
Nothing
wife's
goes to waste. Nothing goes to waste in Philippines.
One of my wife's favorite purses are made by in the Philippines by used fruit juice packs. And it's fairly attractive. So, Austin or Lauren, you want to comment on some of the issues Thomas brought up?
Sure. I mean, tires, one example, right? Tires is a resource that we can make into a lot of different things. I think we saw some designs to make chairs out of tires. So there's a lot of innovative ways to configure these things, and that's why we want to have this makerspace, because we will have the tools and training of how to use the tools to make things like that.
Yeah, particularly.
Yes, and another thing, you know, is we need to do a study and find out whether it is feasible or even more cheaper to recycle these things on Guam, or is it? Cheaper to send them off island, and have it recycled there.
Because
if we can do it here at a cost cutting, then we should just recycle it here and turn it into other products. You know, right now with that 3D printers, that's plastics, and we got a whole bunch of plastics here that need to be recycled. Maybe we can make the line for the 3D printers. You know, and that can start an industry here in Guam.
Yeah, that's exactly our
point. That's exactly what we're thinking. That's how we're thinking, because it costs us maybe $1,000 per ton now to ship plastic waste off island to be recycled. And so we could do a lot better than paying $1,000 to ship it off island and burn more fossil fuels. The 3D printers, the 3D melters and shredders could turn it into marketable products, and we'll actually get money back for keeping our plastics on island. So that's exactly the type of work that we'll be doing in this makerspace. Thanks for that comment.
Yeah, you know, we need to get all the stakeholders together, EPA, the recycling people, the government, and the private sector, and really, if this is feasible, if money can be made from it, and we can turn it into an industry, then we should do it. I mean, if it's going to cost us more to ship this thing off island than to do something with it here, we might as well try to do something with it here and at the same time make money.
Right. Thank you, Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us.
You guys have a good night. Interesting show tonight. Thank you.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're listening, Thomas. Thanks a lot. Joining us also is Dave. Dave, are you there?
Happy day. Good evening.
Yeah, you had a comment or a question for our guests?
Yeah. Tyrone, great show tonight.
Oh, this is Dave Duenas.
Topic, Dr. Austin and Ms. Waddell, Guam Green Growth, 3G, and Island Sustainability. What was that? Private Alliance? I think Guam and the region as a whole has a lot to look forward to. Number one, with the individuals that are currently involved in these projects, Dr. Austin, Ms. Waddell, Vanjie Luhan, they're in good hands. Guam is in good hands, and I see good things happening for Guam in the very near future. Love what I'm hearing.
Well, Dave, thanks for chiming in. Dave, by the way, is when he used to also be a radio host, was very active in promoting Austin. You know that you were on his show, I believe, right? And
We love Man, Land, and Sea.
Yes, Man, Land, and Sea, also I sort of helps inspire me as well to obviously do this program because of the work Dave was doing. So anyway, Dave, any more questions or comments for our panel here?
One thing that I heard, which I'll tell you, I just got home and I left my phone in my house, and I was at the drive-thru waiting for my dinner, and I said, I got to get home and call in and let these people know. I love what you're doing, Dr. Austin. I love what's happening. I just heard about the Moral Village project that you're going to be working on.
Isn't that a great idea, Dave?
Yeah. That is awesome. I don't know. I was just, matter of fact, might have been speeding just a little bit just to get home to make sure I call in and congratulate you guys. You guys are off to a good start, and congratulations for all you do.
Well, you know, one of the great... Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. But one of the great advantages of inviting guests on who are not looking for a flash in the pan solution, but actually devoting energies to a long-term solution for these issues here, is that they're going to be available over the long term to bring back as guests to report on their progress. So aside from tonight's discussions, we certainly will have them back to update us what's been happening here, and things we can look forward to, not only the makerspace with the dashboard and some other things. So
yeah, fantastic. Once again, Dr. Austin, Tyrone, great show this evening.
Thank you.
You guys keep doing what you're doing. You're doing great.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Duane. Thanks for the support.
Okay. That was Dave Duane. Thanks for joining us, Dave. Austin, we're heading down for the last maybe 4 or 5 minutes of the program, and so I'm going to turn over to Lauren. Is there any stuff that we haven't covered yet, or are any parting messages or thoughts you want to give to the listening audience? The microphone is either Lauren, you or Lauren. Go ahead. Hello?
Well, I think I'm doing my dream job right now. When I first applied to the Knaus Fellowship I was in last year, they asked what your career plan was, and I said, all I want
to
do...
I'm sorry, Lauren, this is the NOAA Fellowship?
Yeah, the NOAA Fellowship last year.
Sorry to interrupt, Lauren. I just I make a point of sort of explaining things that, well, we toss around acronyms that we know of, just to make sure you understand. NOAA stands for the National Oceanographic and Atmospheric Administration. It's a federal agency that funds a number of things from Guam, including the Coastal Zone Management Program, and has a number of fellowship programs for which Lawrence Waddell from Guam was picked for it, and she's returned back with all she's learned from that experience. And so I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lauren. You finish up.
Sure. Thanks for explaining it for the listeners. I really wanted to get that fellowship in D.C. for NOAA so I could get skills to bring back home. And so I learned how to work with the federal government, how to work across partnerships, and all I wanted was to come back to Guam and to help facilitate partnerships to happen so we could achieve sustainability on our island, because Guam's my home, is the only place I love so much, and, you know, a lot of people love it too. So I think once we have, you know, everyone like agreeing, like, yes, we need to take care of Guam, that we can make a lot of things happen.
Well, thank you for that, Lauren. It's nice to end a program like this with a moment of inspiration, and thanks for sharing that. It sort of refers to the number of people involved in the Guam Green Growth Initiative, some 90-some people, and headed by Lauren and Austin, to get done something that is really speaks to Guam's future, and even goes past our lifetimes here, for an island we all care about, and to see that our future generations can enjoy what we've enjoyed, even with the mounting challenges due to climate change and the economic challenges as well, and the ongoing problem of dealing with waste. It's a sort of inspirational and positive thing for all of us involved in some small part in the Guam Green Growth Initiative. So, Austin, I have about 3 minutes left. Anything you'd like to say to cap up with the discussion, which I, from the callers here, has been proven very interesting, and if not encouraging, to our listening audience?
Yeah, I guess an important thing to say is that I just would like to express our gratitude to all of the 97 members who have contributed so much of their time and expertise into creating this very comprehensive Guam Green Growth Action Framework, and Lauren and I really look forward to working with them to move the action items forward and to help achieve a sustainable future for the island. I want to thank the governor and lieutenant governor for assigning our Center for Island Sustainability as the facilitators of this island-wide process. We also had Ms. Trina Leberer from the Nature Conservancy Pacific Division, who was our advising facilitator on the whole process. So she played a large role in what we're doing. We really appreciate all of the international and regional partners that have been helping us to move this forward. And we're excited to work on the 5 categories of action. I don't know if we read these out to you earlier, but there are healthy and prosperous communities, educated, capable, and compassionate island. 3, sustainable homes, utilities, and transportation. 4 thriving natural resources and 5 sustainable alliances. So we have a lot of work to do with the 800 goals, objectives, and action items to move each of these forward that are aligned with the UN Sustainable Development Goals. But we're really happy to be doing this because we care a lot about our island, and we want to make sure that we have a healthy, prosperous, and equitable future for all of us to come.
Great, Austin. Now, if someone wants to learn more about the Going Green Growth Initiative, is there someplace online or a social media page they can go to get some of these details?
Yes, we have. You can read the whole action framework in its entirety and learn more about the G3 process on the University of Guam website page. So that's uog.edu/CIS. Again, uog.edu/CIS.
Thank you. That was Dr. Austin Shelton, the head of the UOG Center for Island Sustainability, and Lawrence Hodell, the Guam Green Growth Initiative Coordinator. Thanks, guys, for joining us for the program. You've made this a really interesting, if not inspiring, segment here. That's it for the Data Hub. We'll see you next Tuesday. And now we head up to the CBS Radio News. Thank you, Guam. See you Tuesday. Stay safe. Stay strong.